German football. Delighted to say we gave him the summer off. Last time we spoke to him was a very long time ago indeed. But back once again to talk to us all things German football. On the line joining me right now on the show today, our guest, Mr. Kit Holden. Kit, how are you, mate? It's a pleasure to have you back on the show.
Oh, not bad, mate. How are you?
Very well indeed. Very well indeed. A pleasure to be hearing your sultry tones down the line once again. And a pleasure to have the Bundesliga back. I mean, it's been such a successful end to last season for German sides. It must have been quite weird having a summer where it all suddenly stops for a moment and we're back underway once again.
Yeah, although it really is only for a moment, if you think about it, because, I mean, it seems only yesterday I was watching the German Cup final and thinking, oh, God, I've got a whole summer ahead with no football. And then, Bundesliga kicked off quite early this year and just last weekend, and the second division was the weekend before. So it's only been a few weeks away. But yeah, as you say, thank God, because... It has been, last year was fantastic, and I think generally with Guardiola and a lot of great new stuff coming into the Bundesliga, it's looking like a cracking season.
Is there an expectation in Germany that last season's just the finale to it with the two sides in the Champions League final, Munich, Bayern being so dominant as well last year, is there an expectation that this success will just continue on this year, both at the international and club level for German football?
No. Yes and no. There's certainly a kind of self-satisfaction, if you like. That's probably too negative a term, but there's certainly a pride in what's going on. I mean, Reinhard Raubal, the director of the German Football League, said in his speech at the opening ceremony that, this was the Bundesliga proved itself to be an example for the rest of the world and all the rest of it. And there is a sense that kind of that whole financial model and the putting the fans first, all those things that have been trotted out for a long time are finally bearing fruit, and people are finally recognising them in other countries. And so there's a sense that this is a new era in some respects for German football. But there's also been a healthy amount of pessimism about Bayern's strength particularly, and how anyone is even going to get near them this year, which personally I don't think is quite merited 100%, because as we've seen in the Super Cup, as we've seen early on already, it's not going to be easy adapting to Guardiola. There's certainly a fear that the Bundesliga could turn into a duopoly between Bayern and Dortmund, or a complete monopoly from Bayern, which I don't think anyone wants. Even Bayern and Dortmund fans would probably say no to that, because there is this pride in the whole sort of equal league and high levels of competition, etc. So it's a bit of not a bittersweet environment, but a bit of a sort of balanced environment now between those who are pessimistic and those who are reveling in the newfound success of the Bundesliga.
Bayern kicking off the new season with that 3-1 win over Gladbach, a reasonably convincing win, of course, but there's still been some criticism coming out of the weekend for the way that Guardiola is playing Schweinsteiger as a lone defensive midfielder. I mean, he can't do anything right really at the moment, Guardiola, and people still keep finding flaw in his methods.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was always going to be the issue that when you come in after the team has done so well in the previous season, there is literally no way that he could do any better. Aside from winning the World Club Cup, and even that, they didn't have a chance to do that last year. So, he's always going to face criticism. And I think the tactical changes he's made have been quite drastic in terms of playing that lone defensive midfielder as rather than the two that would have played under Heinkes, and some of the things he tried in the friendlies, putting Lahm in midfield, caused quite a few shockwaves. And I think people are quite quick to sort of say, well, hang on, Heinkes was doing it right, and Heinkes was German, he was playing, this football which Bayern were beating everyone with, why do you need to change things? And I think that's good. I don't think Guardiola would have expected any different, and I don't think he deserves any different. I think any manager who comes in and changes something should be challenged on what they're doing and should have to prove themselves, however good they are and however much respect we have for them. But, like I said, I've always said that this idea that Guardiola will come in and Bayern will just keep on getting better and better is not necessarily 100% foolproof, because there are going to be culture clashes and there are going to be, tactical things that he changes which some of the players don't get on with and all the rest of it. But I think what's good for Bayern is that we're seeing already that his Guardiola's sort of passing play and his whole philosophy that we saw at Barca for so many years is already beginning to fit a bit. There are moments against Gladbach and even against Dortmund in the Super Cup, although they didn't play that well, there were moments where you sort of thought, wow, they're passable, brilliant here. This is, you know, this is fantastic to watch. And although they did that last year, it wasn't quite the same, and it's already beginning to seep in a little bit. But at the same time, the defensive shape is arguably a lot worse than it was at the end of last season. I mean, that was one thing that Heynckes absolutely, you know, sorted out under Van Gaal. They could never deal with Dortmund's pressing, for example. Heynckes sorted all that out, and it seems like they've reverted a bit now. But like I say, I think they're always going to be teething problems, and that will last for a good few months yet. As for Schweinsteiger, well, the purchase of Thiago throws a spanner in the works there, because Guardiola does play with one defensive midfielder, and although it's going to be rotation, although, you know, both those players are flexible, that position has been Schweinsteiger's and also Martinez's for a long time, and they, you know, that is their role in the team, and I think Thiago does threaten that to a certain extent. But yeah, it'll be an interesting fight for those positions. Same with the attacking line. But I think generally it will take a few months for Guardiola and Bayern to properly click, and then we'll see something special.
Are you seeing this Bayern side start to look in any way, shape, or form like Guardiola's old Barca side? I mean, have you been able to watch them in the preseason and this weekend and think, well, Schweinsteiger looks like he's playing that kind of Busquets role, and somebody else is playing like the Xavi role at the moment as well? Or does it seem like two completely different philosophies, but with the similar traits of Guardiola's passing football?
Well, it's somewhere in the middle. I mean, it's not certainly... Guardiola was never planning to come in and sort of, like you said, transpose the Barca system onto Bayern and put people in Xavi roles, Busquets roles, or Messi roles, or whatever. I mean, you know, he's not considered one of the greatest coaches ever purely because of one team. He's considered it because he's innovative and he can deal with different situations and all the rest of it. And that's what he's going to do at Bayern. That's why he's come for the challenge. So I don't think he was ever going to do that. And he certainly hasn't done it, but there is, I've noticed certainly in those few games that we've seen so far that there is an element of that passing and move football is just beginning to become more central to Bayern's game. It was always there, but it wasn't necessarily the absolute kind of focal point of their game. Because let's not forget, they have played possession football, they have played pressing, they have played, you know, a similar style to Guardiola and Barca for the last few years, but it's becoming, yeah, certainly a few Guardiola traits are already beginning to show themselves, and I think that will develop further into the season. But it's certainly not the case that he's coming in and telling players to play like other players, or, you know, putting them in the wrong positions or whatever. I mean, he's tried a few crazy things out in the friendlies, but that's what friendlies are for, you know. That's why they're there.
Let's look away from Bayern and look at the side that did beat them in the German Super Cup, Borussia Dortmund. A lot of talk surrounding Robin Lewandowski leaving up to the start of the season. Talk today about Lewandowski is going to be given an extra bit of money in his pay packet to kind of to just keep him slightly more settled at the club, for Dortmund to kind of show a bit of respect to Lewandowski, especially considering he's only on something like £20,000 a week or something like that. How do you see that's quite a novel thing for a club to do, to kind of reward a player when they don't have to with a wage increase for the last bit of their contract?
Well, I think it's effectively just a power play. It's to make sure that, I mean, Dortmund will want to keep him and do want to keep him at all costs until next summer, when we assume he will leave regardless, because his contract expires. And I think what they didn't want is for him to get into a situation where he was able to say, you're not showing me enough respect, and therefore I'm not going to show the club or the team any respect, and not play properly for a year. Which, you know, I don't think he would have done to that extent, but there was an element of that already creeping in. You know, there was a bit of a war of the words between his camp and Dortmund over this whole saga. And I think this is just a bit of a kind of move of appeasement to just disarm him a little bit and just make sure that if and when he does stay, because I think he will, that he doesn't really have a leg to stand on if he starts saying, you're not showing me enough respect and all the rest of it. So it's a bit of a power play from Dortmund there. But it's also, I mean, they will know that they're not pushing their luck, because I think they're pushing their luck, but they've gone for something which is against the player's wishes, and they need to have, you know, to grant him something in return. That's you know, a given. So I think it's novel, but at the same time, they want to keep him at all costs. They've made the decision, I think rightly, that Lewandowski for another year is a better choice than 35 million now, or 30 million now, however much it would be. And so they're working with that and trying to get the best out of that decision.
And alongside Lewandowski, of course, they brought in Aubameyang this summer. It's taken to the Bundesliga like a duck to water, really, with a hat-trick in his first game. A fantastic way for him to kick off his career at Dortmund.
Yeah, no, he's only the sixth player to get to Bundesliga history to score a hat-trick on debut, so that's one for the record books there. But yeah, no, I mean, he does slot in very well. And he also, what he does do is pushes the pressure onto Lewandowski a little bit more, because Lewandowski knows that, you know, if he does want to move to Bayern and he can't move this summer, he's still got to keep up his level this year. And with a bit more pressure on Aubameyang and from Aubameyang and from Mkhitaryan as well, who, albeit he plays in a slightly more number 10 role than number 9, but they're brought in those forward players who will just sort of up the pressure on Lewandowski and make sure his game is kept to the top level as well.
What do you think about this Dortmund side? We saw on the bench Błaszczykowski, and I know I've just butchered that name, Kit, so please don't judge me for that.
They call him Kuba in Germany. But
I will definitely live with that. Oh, then we saw Kuba on the bench, who was such an important part of Dortmund's side last season. Is there likely to be a nice rotation, do you think, to this side? Is Klopp going to be able to keep this side all nice and happy and content? Because it's a very strong side they put out on the weekend, but there are people that can still come in and fill in these positions if injury hits or anything like that.
Yeah, I think, I mean, conversely, considering that they've just lost Götze and they're, you know, scared of losing Lewandowski, it's almost one of the strongest and deepest Dortmund squads we've seen in a long time. I mean, you know, bringing in Mkhitaryan and Aubameyang obviously strengthens the attack and gives a lot more options there. And also they've got, I mean, the defensive midfield, they've got myriad options, even though they've lost Moritz Leitner now. They've still got Bender and Shaheen and Kale and Gundogan all fighting for those two positions in defensive midfield. And it's, you know, they've got a lot of depth and a lot of scope for rotation. I think Klopp, now he's had that great Champions League season last year, he knows that he wants to keep that level up in all three competitions and go game by game and have the opportunity and the breathing space to go as far as he can in all three. And, you know, he's done brilliantly over the summer to make sure he's in the best position to do that.
Elsewhere around the Bundesliga on opening weekend, fantastic start for Hertha Berlin, 6-1 win over Eintracht Frankfurt. Nice way for them to kind of show we're back in the Bundesliga and we want to stay once again.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is the thing with Hertha, is that they have this tendency to come up and set their sights a little bit too high and then end up crashing back to earth with a bang again. And it's Jos Luhukay, credit to him, as this time has just said before the start of the season, that our only aim at the moment is staying in the league and we're not really kind of thinking about anything else for now. And it's a fantastic result to start with. I mean, you know, it's testament to how well Luhukay and to an extent Michel Pritz have done over the last year, because when they went down two seasons ago, it was, you know, there was doom mongering. There was no financial breathing space. There was, you know, huge rift at the club over Pritz. A lot of the fans with no more confidence in the director of sport, and it was, you know, the club was in crisis. And Luhukay came in quite surprisingly, because he just kept Augsburg up, so he went from Bundesliga to the second division, and he's done a fantastic job. He's rebuilt the squad, not completely revolutionised it, but strengthened it in the right places. They cruised the title, the second division, and they've come out with a bang this year. And They'll know from past experience that they can't get ahead of themselves and they have to keep their feet on the ground. But it is it's a fantastic statement for Hertha, and you know, again, I mean, I think it's their biggest Bundesliga win since 2004. So, you know, it's great for that club, and it is a testament to the brilliant work that Luhukay and Pritz have done over the last year. For Frankfurt, it's a little bit different. I mean, there's the kind of received wisdom on Armin Fehr that he's great until there's pressure on him to do well, and then suddenly his team start collapsing. And although we can't make any conclusions after one game, you wouldn't be surprised if that transpires at Frankfurt this year, because they overachieved so brilliantly last season, and it's not the best start to the new season. And they will hope that they can rebuild that, but there is a sense that perhaps they might have run out of steam a little bit, and this year could be a lot harder.
I mean, I know it's only the first weekend of the season. You can't make predictions off the majority of these results. But Kit, in Hertha's term, is it a freak result, or do you genuinely think that this is a result that shows at least some of the quality of this side? Maybe if it accentuates it too much.
Well, I think yeah, it's a freak result in the sense that you know they're not going to go out and beat any team or expect to beat any team 6-1 any weekend, let alone a team that was challenging for Champions League football last year. But at the same time, what it does show, I think, more than anything, is their fearlessness. That they're coming into this league and they're saying, we have a right to be here, and we're used to this league, and we want to stay here. And you know, we're not going to come in like a sort of promoted team who's umming and ahhing and tiptoeing a bit. And you know, we know how to play this league, and we're going to play it. That's right. Psychologically, it's a fantastic result, but I don't think any Hertha fan would expect them to come out and have too many more results like that.
Just finally, Kit, before we let you go, is the Schalke Hamburg game that took place on Sunday. Huntelaar with two strikes, a cracking strike for his first one after 2 minutes. Yeah. But Hamburg, even though they lost Son, still showing the resilience that we kind of saw last year when everybody expected them to go down, and pulling themselves back into it, getting a 3-3 draw in the end at Schalke. Two sides who had very different seasons last year, Hamburg exceeding expectations, Schalke really underperforming. Where are we expecting to see these two sides finish off, do you think?
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if it's around about the same place. Schalke, sort of the talker from Schalke is that they want to catch up Dortmund and you know, get back into that kind of that top two if they can. Which I think is probably beyond them this year. I mean, we'll see. I mean, you never know with Bundesliga, but I think that's probably that would be overachieving if they manage to get first or second, certainly first. And you know, they're building up a team, and they've brought in a lot of young talent. Obviously, Draxler is already there, and players like Leon Goretzka from Bochum. They're looking to build. Particularly having lost players like Holtby, they're looking to replace them as quickly as possible with more young players. And it's looking bright for them as in terms of the future. But I think this year again will be a transition year to some extent. As for Hamburg, well, I'm always a little bit confused as to how much pessimism surrounds this club at the moment, because every single year, people have over the last few years, everyone said, "Oh God, they're awful. They're going to go down. You know, they're a dreadful, dreadful team. Everything's completely messed up at that club." And they always, managed to do it, and last year they had a great season, and yet still at the end of the season people were saying, oh well, but some of the games they played, they were dreadful, and you think, well, but they still finished, you know, well within the top half of the table and in the rest of European football. I mean, that's you know, not a bad team doesn't do that. And I think, yeah, having lost on, they'll be worried, I think, that they'll have lost a bit of their kind of attacking flair maybe. But I think what that game showed, I mean, it's similar to a result we had in the same fixture at the end of last season, is that both these sides have immense attacking quality and have immense capacity to score goals, but can be very, very shaky at the back. And I think they're similar in that respect. But I think both of them will be looking to challenge for European football and Champions League football if possible.
Kit, we've taken far too much of your time today, but we really do appreciate you having a chat with us with all things Bundesliga and a comprehensive roundup of some of the big games in Germany this week, man. We always appreciate your time. We look forward to catching up with you once again throughout the season as we continue to look back at German football.
No worries, mate. Cheers,
Kit. Thanks so much for joining us there. Kit Holden joining us on World Football Daily to talk all things Bundesliga, chatting about, of course, the Bayern Munich's win, 3-1 win against Gladbach on the opening day of the season, yet Pep Guardiola still under pressure.